All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks, I'm doing local podcasts. Good morning. February the 5th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Wednesday. I am off today. I thought I would come up and see if I could possibly do a podcast and check in and see what's going on. Yeah, not a lot going on this time of the year for me. It is tax time, so of course I am consumed with fear and anxiety and worry, and I am currently not living in the day, right? It's always about tomorrow or the past, unfortunately for me at this time. A lot of reflecting, a lot of data. Been a weird year for me this year. 2024 was a bit of a strange year, closing down the salon, sort of being under the protection of a small business with a payroll company and sort of managing all of my expenditures and payroll and all of that stuff. Typically, I would just sort of hand it all over to them. They sort of already had it, and it was really not a big deal. Unfortunately, halfway through the year of 24, I left being a small business owner and became an independent contractor. And oof. I guess I didn't realize how much I really enjoyed having the pleasure of a payroll company, but I do not have them anymore. So this year I'm having half of a year under a payroll company and half a year as a 1099, and it's a mess. And, you know, didn't really pay much taxes. I did pay my, I prepaid my taxes last year. Well, at the beginning of this year, I guess it would be called. And so that should help. You know, luckily I live a, honest life. I almost said pretty honest, but, you know, I live an honest life. Do I claim everything? I don't know. You know, here and there. But it is what it is. And so there's a lot of uncertainty, and I've got to turn it all over. And then I'm also, you know, doing my dad's taxes. And so that is double the power, double the whammy. And so I'm a little stressed out. But whatever, I will get through it. Just having to search for stuff and find things and, you know, always worried that I'm doing the right thing, especially for my father. But yeah, that's what's sort of going on. I'm sure we're all going through it. My brother, he did his taxes in a day. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. Maybe I worry about it too much. You know, I feel, I don't know, maybe recovery has done that. I want to be honest with everything and, you know, disclose everything. And so we'll see. It should be fine. Like I said, you know, I don't do too much crazy spending. So it should be fine. But that's sort of what's been going on, trying to stay in the day, but it's been a little stressful. And but yeah, the weather's been interesting. We were in like a deep freeze for a few weeks, had snow. Got real crazy, and then the weather's been improving and improving, and then I think it was Monday, I decided I wanted to go for a run, and, because it was beautiful out, it was just a beautiful day. Not doing a lot of paddling right now. My coach is having had some knee surgery, so, we're not really able to get out there, and I ran with my buddy Ben on Sunday, sort of fired up the engines again, and so Monday, I decided I would go for a run. Interesting. You know, I've shared in this podcast before, running was an introduction to spirituality for me. Not always good, right? Different versions of it, I should say. You know, I used to talk about when I'd start running, and in the beginning of the run, I would, you know, just focus on all the people I hated and slayed them all. And, you know, came in on a horse and chopped them all down, and then about midway through the run, started having some regret on my behavior, and then by the end of the run, I was picking them all up and apologizing, and but just really, you know, a lot of stuff would be revealed, the inconvenience, the pain, the suffering, right, of running, and how my mind would start to go on these crazy thoughts and journeys, and, you know, I started to learn, you know, I don't really live unless I'm suffering, right? I don't realize a lot of this stuff until I'm out really doing a hard day's work or a long run or something like that. Whatever it is, you know, it's all hocus pocus kind of stuff for me, really. But I went for a run on Monday, and my God, I just, you know, there's so much stuff going on right now on social media with the elections and, you know, whether you're happy or you're not happy. If you're happy, you're probably really happy. And if you're not happy, you're really pissed off. And there's a real divide, you know. During the election, it was always about, we need to heal the divide. Well, we got a huge divide now. And it's sort of, you know, for me as a person in recovery, I've learned, you know, restraint from pen and tongue. I just stay out of it. I don't need to comment, right? But it was a trip, man. On this run, I'm running and I'm like thinking about it. And by the end of the run, I'm like, I think I'm going to go on my Facebook and I'm going to tell everybody that doesn't agree with what's going on to go fuck off. Sons, roll away your stone. That's what I rolled away on Monday. I rolled away my stone and I went inside. And, you know, unfortunately inside there is anger. Unfortunately, I have anger issues a little bit. And when I ran, it's sort of, I don't know if it's just the grind of running and the suffering, but that wall that I put up that says, none of my business, keep your words to yourself, or restrain from pen and tongue, that wall came down. And during my run, I was like, I was going to let everybody have it. And I was going to post on my Facebook page, if you don't agree, delete me. Like, unfriend me, do yourself a favor. You know, I just became very nasty in my thinking during this run. And when I was all finished and came home and I was going to let them all have it. Luckily, some grace showed back up, right? God showed back up. Some common sense showed back up. And I realized that you would be doing yourself a disservice by doing that. And because you know what? The reality is we all have an opinion and we can all have it. It's up to me to not get involved in it and make things worse. And so that's what I did. But I'm still, like, it's still in there, and it's still looking to lash out. And, of course, yesterday, a friend of mine that I grew up with in another state had posted something, shared something that I felt was, you know, because I'm, you know, nobody's perfect, right? Everybody has their challenges. I just want to move on. And, you know, I don't want to sit around and live in the last 4 years and complain about it for the next 4 years. I want to see somebody come in and try to do something to help the country, right? At least that's what I tell myself. And I really get mad when people post weird shit, fake stuff, fake to me, right? Might be, you know, and that's the other thing. I have to put my feet in other people's shoes. And what seems fake to me may be very real to them, right? And but of course, I had a buddy of mine that I grew up with in another state. He posted something and I wrote, you know, man, I'm deleting you. I'm getting rid of you. I'm taking you off this because I just don't want to see this anymore. And man, they let me have it. There's an actual group of people out on the internet that really love to get into it. And they're good at it. They're very good at it. I personally am not very good at it. I will say something and then really have no comeback, right? I have no really great response. Sort of got into it with a couple people. I think they were in California. They let me have it. I'm an idiot. And, you know, they're right. I am an idiot. I shouldn't have even said anything. But I did. And so it was an interesting day yesterday. I don't really feel like I was wrong, but, you know, I have to remember, keep my mouth shut. Restraint from pen and tongue, to each his own. And I got a little reminder of that. Luckily, I didn't say anything bad. I just don't want to. And honestly, I've been spending the last couple of weeks just kind of unfollowing people who are, I don't know, I guess, would that be censoring, right? Am I censoring people? Which I hate. I hate censoring. So I might be part of adding to the problem and not helping it. But I have been, you know, listen, if we don't agree on some things, there's no sense in really, you know, following each other on Facebook. So I have been sort of picking and choosing and removing some people, but, you know, I didn't need to say anything like I did yesterday. And so for that, I apologize. Nobody there would be here. But, you know, I try to hold myself not at a higher standard. I'm trying to hold myself at just a normal standard, right? Keeping my mouth shut and not commenting on other people's stuff is not above and beyond. That's what normal people do. And I lowered myself below normal to even get involved in that shit. And so I just got to be better at being normal and to each his own. Let everybody have their opinion. I want what's best, hopefully, for our country. Just like we all do, I'm just not sure we all see the same things as being the best, but we shall get through it, and I will not drink over this for sure. But yeah, that's sort of what's been going on. Lesson learned, shut up, Tom, keep your mouth shut, keep my opinions to myself, let the professionals get at it, and we'll just go from, we'll just draw a new line and step over it and start fresh. But yeah, I did go to a meeting the other day. I went to the meeting on Monday, and it was a step meeting. I've been trying to do podcasts on each of those steps as they come along. We did 6, 7, 8, and of course, on Monday, it was the 9th step. And made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Let me just confirm that, because I don't want to read anything wrong. So let me get the manual. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Yeah, see, I read that completely wrong. What did I say? Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Yeah. It's a great step. For some reason, the day of Monday, I was not... I sort of had this sort of ill feeling. The 9th step, for some reason, isn't always one of my favorite steps. I love 6. I love 7. I love 8. And after the meeting and listening to the guy share and listening to the group, I love 9. You know, it's a huge step. You know, one of the things for me in before I got sober was, you know, I've shared before, you know, I just wasn't a great guy. I wasn't burning houses. I wasn't stealing cars. But... you know, I was living a sort of a shitty life and shitty behavior, not helping the country, right? Helping myself. And, you know, in that life, you know, you're sort of always looking over your shoulder. You know, I never was ripping anybody off, but you never know if it's the cops, if someone's going to tell on you. You just, it's a very paranoid existence. And, you know, one of the cool things I found when I got sober over time is that I didn't have to look over my shoulder, right? And I think that for me at least, that, you know, and obviously we're coming one, two, three, we get into the fourth step, our moral inventory, our fifth step, sharing it with somebody, our sixth step, looking at our character defects, seven, looking at our shortcomings, eight, you know, making a list of all the people we had harmed. And then we have nine, made a list of all, now I'm confused. What's eight? All right, little refresher here. Refresh. Yeah, so eight is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Right, that's what I said the first time. I thought that was step nine. You know, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then step nine is made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So, right, we make the list, and then we got to go and, you know, go through the list and make our amends. And, you know, one of the, you know, and I had to list this as a character defect. One of my character defects prior was that I would do stupid shit and then I would make an amends, right? I'm sorry. You skipped school, yes. I said I didn't, but when the facts came out, it's true. I lied. I'm sorry. You smoked pot again, yes, I did. I'm sorry, right? It was always this making stupid decisions and then making amends for it and then doing it again, right? That's a character defect of mine. It was. You know, I try not to do that anymore. But back in the day, I was always doing stupid shit. I would lie about it, finally get caught, and then make an amends. And then I would do it all over again. And so I had to identify that, first of all, as a character defect of mine. So I had to make sure that I wasn't doing that again, right? And then as we go into the next step, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And don't do it again, right? That's not what it says. I added the don't do it again on the end, but that's how I try to live my life today, because that's the kind of shit. It keeps a person that's sick, sick, but it really keeps a person trying to get better, sick. And so, yeah, that was, I first had to identify that character defect of mine. And then, you know, it talks about prudence, right, in the step. And it also talks about being centered on the beam. And I'm hoping, you know, at this point, if we have worked all these steps honestly, thoroughly, and we finally get to this step, we've recognized, you know, some of the self, right, that's driven me for so long. And because I can tell you, I love saying sorry. You know, I was the guy that did so much stupid shit, but I had no problem saying sorry, right? But I also had to make sure that wasn't just serving me, for me to feel better, right? And it was serving the person that I had hurt or offended and trying to give them some satisfaction. And unfortunately, most of the times, those people didn't care. They didn't really give a shit about my amends. You know, when I finally came to this step, you know, I've shared the list of people that I had harmed wasn't very big. I had to make the list of people that had harmed me, right? So I could start understanding the role that I played in all of those incidents. And so that I could start realizing that actually that was me harming people. Because, I just didn't have any accountability. And so when all that stuff started to happen, I started to realize, man, you've been the problem the whole time. And, you know, clearly, you know, my parents, my neighbors, my family, they all deserved an amends. But clearly none of them cared, right? If I'd gone up to any of them and said, listen, I've been a bad boy, right? And I'm sorry. And they would say, I don't care, man. Just don't drink, live a decent life, and that's good enough for us, right? But if you take the guy that, like, punched me in San Diego, right, I owe that guy an amends. You know, I for a long time as a victim of that guy, right, because I didn't have any accountability, I didn't realize the role that I had played, I was a victim, you know, I didn't recognize it. And then finally, over time, maturing, grace slowly coming upon me, right, becoming accountable, recognizing it, now today I look back and I say, I wish I could give that guy an amends, right? That's the people, that's the guy, that people like that, situations like that, those are the people that need an amends from me. And because, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for him. I doubt he felt bad, right? Maybe over time, you know, I don't even know if he's alive, right? He was living the same life I was living, you know, partying, selling drugs, doing our thing, right? But maybe one day he got sober, right? And one day he felt like he owed me an amends, right? And the reality is he doesn't. I need to give him amends. And like my buddy Gary said, which I thought was really cool, and I hadn't heard it before, but he says it allows us to give these people back their dignity. And I was like, yes, right? You know, I don't know if he felt like he was inappropriate for punching me. I mean, it probably could have been handled differently, but it was what it was. But, you know, I can say, listen, man, and I'm just guessing, right? I doubt he's like, it's keeping him up at night, right? But there may be, you know, and I'm hoping maybe he, you know, found sobriety, got clean. You know, it's amazing when I go to meetings and I know all these people, but you hear their story and you're like, God damn, this guy was really not a good person, right? Just like myself. We all have, unfortunately, shady pasts. But maybe he found sobriety. Maybe he became a guy that, you know, tried to help get the recovery into the county, right? Maybe he changed his ways, and maybe he thought, maybe I should have never hit that guy. And I could go to him and say, man, that was my fault, right? So it allows people to get their dignity back. And I thought that was very cool. It's a great step. You know, like I shared in the meeting, in the end, and I've said this many times, right? In the end, this program just really wants us to be really good people, right? And, you know, to walk the streets without looking over our shoulder, right? Hopefully not running into people from the past that have a grudge, you know. Hopefully we can, through these 8 and 9 step, you know, really figure out what role we played, what role other people played, and, you know, really reach out if possible and make our amends and clean all that up, right? You know, I've shared there was a, when I got in that fight in that bar, March 31st, 1997, you know, the bartender, who I thought was my friend and is my friend, right? He owed me nothing, right? But I got in that fight, and I remember looking at him as he's walking towards me thinking, yo, this is my friend. He's going to help me. And he proceeded to pick me up and throw me out the front door. You know, I'm like, for a long time, I'm like, what a son of a bitch. Right? I can't believe that guy did that. He was supposed to be my friend. But years later, right, years later, and identifying and recognizing the role that I played, I ran into him and I said, listen, man, I really am sorry. I really apologize and thank you. Thank you for throwing me out the front door. You did me a favor. And we've had a good laugh over it a couple times because every time I run into him, I'm like, I'm still sorry, buddy. I apologize again. I'm just embarrassed for my behavior. I don't need to do that forever, right? I don't need to, you know, that doesn't need to be my mantra, right? I'm the bad guy. I'm sorry from 30 years ago. But, you know, it was a person that I didn't think deserved an apology, and over time would realize that I did. But the good thing is that, you know, when I run into people like that, I don't have to look over my shoulder today. I don't have to drag the past and memories around with me and constantly being on, you know, high alert. Who's going to come out where and be, you know, call me out for what I did? You know, that doesn't happen to me today. And if it does, like when it happened with the bartender, I can be like, you know, man, I apologize for my behavior and I hope you can forgive me. And we can let it go, right? I don't know if he was ever mad at me. I mean, if you own a bar, you've seen probably hundreds of knuckleheads like me coming through the door. And so, but, you know, today him and I have a great relationship. If I see him, it's always, hey, buddy, how's it going? But like him and like anybody else, all he and anybody else would like to see me do is just stay sober, right? Stay sober and don't be a pain in the ass. And today I love that. You know, I love to do that one day at a time. And you know, it's just, I think that's probably what, you know, it's all about victiming, being a victim or being a volunteer. And until I became accountable, I was a victim to all of my stupidity. And then once I recognized it, if I want to still continue to drag that out, then now I'm just volunteering, right? I'm a volunteer victim. But that's what I think a lot of these steps are great for, especially the 6, 7, 8, 9, is that we can start being accountable, we can recognize it, we can make eye contact, apologize, and we don't have to be a victim of that anymore. I don't have to talk about it over and over. And I feel like that's sort of what's going on the internet. And, you know, I don't know if these people are paid to be hostile, but it just feels victim-y, right? Everyone's, you know, I can't believe this and I can't believe that. And it's like, I think I'm just like, let's just, you know, it is what it is. Let's move on and see if we can make the best of this and not be a victim to all this, right? Not be a victim. Anyway, that's sort of what's been going on with me. I tried to do this podcast the other day, and I just couldn't quite get my thoughts together. I do love this step. You know, at this point, you know, and I never realized this, but, you know, it's just about, like I said, being a real good person and sort of just cleaning up our life so that we can proceed and just be a really good person, right? We don't have to walk over landmines and pitfalls all over the place. Hopefully through these steps, we can identify all that stuff and get it cleaned up and, you know, move on and not talk about it anymore. Like, I talk about March 31st, 1997 on this podcast, but I don't ever talk about that anymore, right? That is, it's in the past and I'm over it. And, you know, the message in the program is always, you know, stay in the day, you know, one day at a time, right? And like I opened the podcast with earlier, I haven't really been doing that. And it has nothing to do with bar fights and shit. It's taxes and this financial insecurity that still scares me, right? And so I've just been sort of living out of myself here, and I'm confessing my sins right now. All right. Let's see. Maybe we can read Daily Reflections. Da-da-da. And then I don't got a lot going on today. I've been doing a lot of running around, going to banks, getting paperwork, using the printer, you know, all this adult stuff. And, yeah, hopefully I can get it all together. And then once the taxes is all turned in and everything's paid, I can hopefully have a breath and not worry about anything for a little while. At least for a year till next tax season. Next, I'm going to try to be better this year. That's the other thing. You know, I haven't been very responsible in my finances lately. I've just been making money and spending it. And I haven't been putting anything aside for the tax man. I know better. And I'm sort of regretting it now and sort of living in fear and worry because of that. And so this year I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to manage my statements and just try to be ready this year for when the tax season comes next year so I don't have to go through all this again, right? All right, Daily Reflections, A Glorious Release, February 5th. The minute I stopped arguing, I could begin to see and feel right there. Step two, gently and very gradually began to infiltrate my life. I can't say upon what occasion or upon what day I came to believe in a power greater than myself, but I certainly have that belief now. To acquire it, I had only to stop fighting and practice the rest of AA's program as enthusiastically as I could. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 27. After years of indulging in a self-will run riot, step two became for me a glorious release from being all alone. Nothing is so painful or insurmountable in my journey now. Someone is always there to share life's burdens with me. Step two became a reinforcement with God, and I now realize that my insanity and ego were curiously linked. To rid myself of the former, I must give up the latter to do one with far broader shoulders than my own. Yeah. It's always, you know, the second step is interesting because I've shared before my expectations of a higher power and then sort of what it ends up, at least at the time, were not that exciting. And so I sort of didn't really have any interest in it. But today, you know, I have this, you know, I've said it before, it's an intuition, right? I call God an intuition. And when I wake up and I know that I need to get something done, I feel I have an intuition in my stomach that's like, you got to get this taken care of. And if I do not, I have a whole nother intuition, which is like, you fucked up and you need to get this taken care of now, right? It becomes like, hey, man, I probably want to take care of this to, oh, shit, right? But it's all this intuition. And I don't like that, right? Peace, love, free of fear. And all of that is not peace, love, and it's full of fear. And so today, you know, I can do things in my day, and it's all intuitions and feelings and you know, all of that shit that takes place. There's no voices, right? It's just intuition. And the intuition is what sort of guides me throughout my day. You know, hopefully, you know, over time we get better, right? We just do the next right thing. We just do what we're supposed to do. We're not constantly going, oh, I know, I feel it. I know I need to get up and do this, but I don't wanna. And then I just sit in it. And, you know, over time we start to just, it becomes habit, right? Oh, I got to take care of this. Whoop, we got to do this. And, you know, I don't feel a lot of negative intuition in my stomach. I don't feel God pressing me. But when I stop doing what I'm supposed to do, right? Like after I made those comments on my Facebook page, you know, intuition was like, you're a dumbass. There's nothing I can do for you. You're just going to have to kind of sit in this one. But you shouldn't have done that. And in 5 minutes, I'm going to remind you again, you shouldn't have done that. And in 5 minutes again, I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't have done that. And you shouldn't have done that. And until you clean it up, you're going to feel it. And so to me, that is God kind of looking over me, right? There's no phone call. I didn't get a text. I have a feeling, an intuition, you know, and intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us, right? This is all part of that promise, right? Just do the right thing. Just do the next right thing the first time, and you won't be blown away by this overwhelming guilt and intuition of your bad behavior. You know, I can avoid it if I choose to. But anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. Yeah, I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
But the welcome I receive when the east are darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I see. Well, darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I see. Too far this time, you have neither reason nor right with which to take this soul rightfully mine.